Tyler and Michelle, come on up. How many of you want a great testimony? Come on. Come on, kids, you can come on up too. Good morning. This is Tyler and Michelle. Good morning, Tyler. Awesome. So Michelle came up earlier and just said, hey, we've got a great testimony. So release the testimony so we can step in and celebrate with you and experience the same promises fulfilled.
So we wanted to share it with you guys because it's a big deal for us. About 5 years ago, God led us into the Dave Ramsey program to get out of debt. And so it was intimidating when we started, but slowly but surely, he walked us out of debt. And on Friday, we were able to pay our house off completely.
Come on.
In the last 2 years, I think, and we definitely are nothing like extraordinary, you guys. If we can do it, you definitely can do it. And we just wanted to share about the spiritual freedom that comes with being responsible in that way, and what it's done for us, because a lot of people walk into debt without realizing it, what they're getting into, and then don't realize that heaviness that lays over them. So each time that we've had a debt removed, the feeling in the spirit is just, it's so tangible. So did you want to say anything?
Come on, Tyler.
And we also last month started a moving business, Mountain Moving. God moves mountains. So we're just excited about where...
And this is houses, right? You're not out there digging holes, moving mountains, right? Moving like people's stuff, right? Because maybe you are literally moving.
I mean, if you want to pay by the hour, sure, we can help you. this is what Tyler wanted to say. There's only one way to financial peace.
And that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace.
Oh, come on. Well said. Amen. Would you pray for us?
Father God, we just thank you so much for what you've done for us. You changed our perspective, and you've changed our view of you and others around us. So we just pray a blessing over everyone today, that they would know that they can walk in complete freedom in you, especially financial freedom today. So we just release this blessing over this congregation. Mm. Father God, we thank you that you are a loving, rewarding Father, and that you have the very best in mind for us. So we just ask for your will in all your ways and for the strength to carry that out. We just love you so much. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Come on. Beautiful. As Jennifer Pelletier comes up, the stage has been cleared. And the worship team that you'll see as she transitions is made up of her family, as well as Chad Cooper, who's like family, will join them. What you may consider in the midst of her message and wherever she takes us this morning is just looking at your own life, looking at the clutter, looking at the things that have just taken up the stage that God wants you to stand on, the stage that God has placed you on. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we continue to navigate forward and just trust the Lord with every message we give and every person we invite to share, that your hearts would be open to receive and that the Spirit of God would be allowed to move not just in you, but also through you. Amen? Would you welcome Jennifer Pelletier this morning?
Good morning. I brought my big Bible this morning. I thought, oh, this would look really spiritual. No, really, I'm needing it so I don't have to wear my glasses. That's the stage where I'm at right now. So I brought this Bible. I'm not into using my iPad. There's something about my personality. Like, I actually like filling a page, and I like the sound of the flipping of pages. So that's me. That's why I have it. I thought about the season we're in, and we're just kind of, September's kind of a really special time. It has anniversaries. Besides, if you did not know, it's Jeff and Jacqueline's anniversary today. It's very special. His wife will come home tonight. And we're celebrating the anniversary of Echo or Hope Chapel and Valley Christian merging. September's very special. And it's just kind of the season, it's the Jewish New Year this month, those of you who follow the head of the year, the Jewish year, it is this month, and God always has something to say for in the year that we're going to be in a couple weeks for Rosh Hashanah. The head of the year is 5783, and let me just... Let me just give you a little teaser, and then if you're interested or wanting to know more, just go, you can easily Google it, you can YouTube it. So 57, I'm just going to focus on 83, and the way the Hebrew language is, the numbers actually show pictures. It's incredibly beautiful, the languages, and so the number actually paints a picture. So 8 and a 3, the 83 is Pei and Gimel, and so there's a couple meanings I just want to throw out there, just as, you know, kind of whet your appetite a little bit. It's a warning for divine recovery and retribution. This is, we're going to enter into a season warring for divine recovery and retribution, meaning God's going to make things right. And I'm just, as we were just looking globally, I'm just super excited. I'm just very excited. We're in an incredible season. If you're kind of wondering where I'm going, because people have told me before, it's kind of nice to know, like, I do not have a title. If you're kind of wanting to know where my heart, where I'm trying to go this morning, is that, and I feel like sometimes, I was sharing this with Jeff a while ago, I'm like, I kind of feel like every time I get up there, I kind of say the same thing over and over again. He's like, you truly, each of you are truly, I know, here I go again. Each of you are just so remarkable. You truly are incredible. And there's something powerful when each of us are like, we step into, you know, just how remarkable the Father just created you. And there's something remarkable when you understand like how truly amazing you are. And then we start linking up with other truly remarkable, amazing people. And so that's where I'm just kind of going this morning. So actually, I'm going to start off with some declarations. So this is the first one. Okay, the first declaration, I'm on assignment. Okay, ready? Say it with me. Ready? I'm on assignment. So let's say it again. I'm on assignment. Now, I actually missed Josh's message a while ago, but I think you kind of talked about us being in a process. Okay, and maybe I'm jumping in on that. We're each on an assignment. And each of our assignment looks a little different, but the beautiful thing about it is we're still all very much connected. Now, with our assignment, just as with life, there are some things about our assignment we will be super excited about. Like, this just lights us up, we'll be super excited about. And there's other things about our assignment the Lord has given us that we may not be as excited about. About 4 years ago, it was a Sunday night, and it's when Hope Chapel was meeting here before we had merged. And Jeff's like, so for tonight, I just want you to ask the Lord for a word. Just one word. I don't know if you even remember this. And just ask for a word and then go around and pray that one word over someone. And so I was like, okay, Lord, what's the word you want me to pray over people? And he said, accepted. And I go, accepted? He goes, accepted. And so I just kind of stood there, and you know, we're kind of just all standing. The first person came to me and she goes, the word the Lord gave me is sunshine. And she started singing over me, you are his sunshine, his only sunshine. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this is, I was like speechless. And then the next person came to me and said, the word the Lord gave me was intimacy. And I just see pink. And I just, it's beautiful. He's just intimacy. And I'm just, people are coming in like with these incredible words. And I kind of just stood there and I'm like, yeah, I got this word, okay. And the Lord's like, you know, so I found someone way in the back. So I go over there and I'm, the person's like, so what's your word? And I go, accepted. She goes, accepted? I go, yeah, accepted. She goes, oh. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And I just kind of laughed and I sat down and I was like, yeah, I have nowhere to go with this word at all. And like, I don't even know how to pray over people. And so I just sat there and I'm like, oh, you guys all have such amazing words, you know. And so that was where, and so a couple days later, I was with the Lord and I'm just praying, hanging with him. And I see across like a typewriter, like across my vision, I could see it. And I see this N-A-C-A or N-A-C-A-H. I'm like, Naka. And I see it, and it won't leave me. You know, I'm saying N-A-C-H-A. I'm like, well, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, we have like the world at our fingertips. So I Google it. I'm like, what is this word? And for one thing, I was pronouncing it incorrectly. Wouldn't you know, it was a Hebrew word. And actually, it's pronounced Nasa, and it means to test, to prove. And it was first mentioned when Abraham is walking up Mount Moriah with his son Isaac. And the Lord said, hey, Jennifer, there has always been a yes in your heart. Always been a yes in your heart. You have been, as Abraham was found tested and improved, he was found accepted in my sight because he had a yes in his heart. Even through the confusion, even through the heartache, the pain, the disappointment, the unknowing, there was a yes in his heart. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Now I'm like, oh, I wish I could have prayed that over more people. So here, I'm just like, you know what? The time is now. So Lord, I just thank you for everyone that's sitting in this room and wherever they're at with their assignment with you. No matter if they're super excited where they're at or if they just feel like they're just being faithful. I'm just being faithful. I'm just being obedient. I'm being faithful and obedient. Lord, that you declare over them Nasa, that they have been tested. They have been proved, Lord, that they've been acceptable in your sight. And it's all for promotion. It's all for going to the next level. It's all for going from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And there's something, too, about part of our assignment, there will always be adversity. None of us escapes it. None of us escapes adversity. And there's something very powerful when we overcome. And I know that Mike has kind of touched on this as he's gone through the book of Revelations. But if you read through the book in chapter 2 and chapter 3 in the book of Revelations, let me just highlight some of those things. When you choose to go through the testings and choose to be tested and proved that yes in your heart and you keep moving forward, these are the things that are promised to you. You get to eat from the tree of life. You get to eat the hidden manna. You get a white stone and you get a new name. You get to be clothed in white garments and your names are recorded in the book of life. And you get to sit with the Lord on his throne and be a pillar in his temple. Yes? Yes, yes. So if I can just encourage you, wherever you feel like where you're at on your assignment, if you're super excited, like, oh, I see, you know, you can see it all before you, or if you're in that place where, you know, Lord, there's just a yes on my heart. If I can just encourage you, we are all called to be overcomers. That's very much part of our DNA with the Lord, is that we are victorious, and just realize that is being set before you. The next declaration, I am right on time. Ready? I am right on time. No matter what has been through your life, you're not behind. You're not behind. And that is the beautiful thing about the Lord, is he's the redeemer of all time. If you feel like you somehow missed it, you're behind, I should have done that, you are right on time. You are right on time. I'm going to keep saying that. Probably if I had a title for my message today, you are right on time because God's right on time. So you guys are just in sync. You're right on time. No matter if you felt like there's been delays, limitations, you are right on time. He uses every season of your life. And I think sometimes when we get together with people, we only tell them, oh, this is just like the glory part of my life. But honestly, you are who you are because of every season of your life. The times that you feel like you weren't actually necessarily serving him, you felt disconnected, he has used it all. And he has plenty of time to bring it all together to get you where you need to be. Let me just give you this. I saw this quote and I'm like, oh, this is so good. You can't conquer what you're not willing to confront. So I think sometimes I present this part of me, but what you don't see is this part behind me. And I know this is a thing. You're like, I think she's talked about this before. I have. Because this is like things that I have like gone through. So the things that I had to go through, and actually being an overcomer was a lot of regret, and I've spent some time before talking about regret. And with that, you know, and as I was praying, I could just see like piles of regret, you know, those bad decisions, things, the choices we've made, the shame that comes with that, the disappointments, all the confusion and the pain. And so if I can just encourage you, because as I was praying, I could just see sometimes we present this part of us and then it's like, well, what do I do with all of this behind me? What do I do with the shame? Like, what do I do with it? And I understand that we know that we repent and we confess, but sometimes we still have piles that are left behind us. And I will just give you two pictures. This one is actually from my sister, Jacqueline, who's not here today. Because she has actually said this to me. She goes, use it as a launch pad. Do you see all this? Like, what do you do with the regret, the shame, the guilt, the disappointment, the pain? What do you do with it? And she just said, hey, just use it as a launch pad. Like, you can actually step on it and just say, okay, Lord, this is actually going to propel me. This is actually, so this is what I love about this perspective. You actually get a look at it like, God's actually going to use it towards for my good. Like, it's going to be advantageous for me that only God can do. He's going to make it advantageous, and I'm going to stand on it because I have authority over it, and it's actually now going to propel me. I'm going to use it to launch me. So that's my sister's perspective, and I love that perspective. This was me. I'm like, this is how I saw it. So I just saw it, like, I was just taking this whole heave of piles of, can I just say crap? Just piles of stuff. Like, what you just like, I need to get rid of it. And I saw it, and the Lord says, hey, Jennifer, put it on the altar and watch it burn. And I'm like, yes, like, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I am going to put it on the altar, and I'm just going to watch it burn. And I'm going to watch it burn, and I'm going to watch this as a sweet fragrance and sacrifice to the Lord. Like, you know what? I don't have to carry this. I don't have to, like, it doesn't have to plague my mind anymore. I'm just going to set it on the altar, and I'm just going to watch it burn. So I will give you those two. If that helps you when those things start creeping up, and you're like, gosh, I thought, you know, Lord, I thought I dealt with, you know, I thought we've moved on from that. I thought we're moving forward. Just take one of those pictures, like, either see yourself standing on it and like, no, it is actually under my feet and I have victory over, and Lord, you're going to use that to launch me. Like, it's going to propel me. Or the other picture is like, I am so excited because I'm going to watch it burn and it's going to have these huge flames. So you can do whatever you, however one you want. Okay. Number three declaration. My purpose is important. Ready? My purpose is important. So even if you, sometimes we're really good at comparing, like I look at yours and you look at mine, you're like, oh, yours is like super spiritual. Like your purpose, like really amazing, like really amazing. And you kind of look, okay, you can't, can I just tell you, when we compare, it is the number one joy killer ever. So don't compare. There's no good that comes out of comparison. Just know whatever the Lord has placed within you is crucial for the world today. And there's something about why you are alive on the earth at this very moment, because whatever he has placed in you is needed for this moment. I don't know. And I thought about this and I thought, you know, Lord, it'd be super awesome if somehow like we are able like to give a prophetic word over each person. This is what I'm discerning on you. And this is what's amazing about your life. And this is what I see. And God's going to use it. I mean, I'm like, that'd be so awesome. But this is what I heard him say. He goes, but yes, that would be awesome, Jennifer. But how much more would it be awesomer if I actually, they asked me and I spoke it directly to their heart. Because there's something about when you get a direct word from the Lord, that when the Lord tells you, this is what I've placed on your life, that it's like rooted and anchored, like no one can take that away from me. Because this is what I heard. So if I can just encourage you, start, if you kind of thinking like, what is it on my life that's needed right at this moment? If you are just like not really knowing, start going after that. Like, Lord, why am I on the earth today? What's in me that you've placed in me that isn't placed in others that you are needed? If I can just add to that, whatever the Lord has placed in you, you are actually needed to be connected with other people. And can I just tell you, I am one of the first ones that were so hesitant about wanting to connect with other people. There's something about just showing up on a Sunday, just saying hi, you know, how you doing, how was your weekend? And it's like 5 minutes before church, 10 minutes after church, and then we're out the door. Nothing deep. Can I just tell you, like, this does not facilitate deep connection. When we just show up here for an hour and a half, 2 hours, this does not facilitate deep connection. And God actually created you and me, what I came to realize, to actually connect deep. So let me just tell you. So last year, I was given five names of five ladies to pursue and see if they would want to connect and build a relationship with, and with the idea of launching each other. So I was kind of hesitant, and so a while had gone by. And finally, like, I couldn't handle it anymore. I was like, oh my. So I didn't even call him. So this is me. So I didn't even call him. I got their numbers and I texted them. So if this would leave some of you like, hey, I don't even want to call anybody on the phone. So let me give you this too. If I am actually literally going to challenge each one of you, ask the Lord for five names. Just ask the Lord for five names. Not everyone will say yes. So let's just let that go too. Not everyone's going to say yes, but you will find your people. And there's something about this. We are all a family, but I can't even, it's impossible like this to connect deep on a deep level of vulnerability and deep forge those joining deep connections unless you actually have face-to-face connections with each other. So I had these five names. I texted them. I said, I gave a time. Do you want to meet? Miraculously, like, they all said yes. I was super surprised. She kind of shocked me, and I just said, okay. So I gave him a time. The first time we came, so this is how I did it. You can do whatever you want. If you want to meet in your home, meet in your home. If you like doing dinner, do dinner. Do whatever you want. I'm not that kind of a hostess. Like, that's me here at church. But if you love having people in your home, do it in your home. Just reach out to five people. Five people is all I'm asking you to do. I reached out to five. We met here, and I just had one question for each week we met. And the first question was, what's your Jesus story? How did you get to know Jesus? And I always went first. So I just kind of set the standard. Hey, this is how vulnerable we're going to be. And I just thought, you know what? If I'm going to do this, because really my whole heart and intent is I really want to be super vulnerable. So I just laid it out. So it was amazing. Like, I just shared my Jesus story, and each one shared their Jesus story. And so sometimes we're laughing, and sometimes, you know, we're crying. You know, it was incredible. And so I'm like, wow, Lord, this was like, but this is what I knew. There is a deep longing in the hearts of sons and daughters to be connected. Like, they want to be seen. You want to be known. You want people to know who you really are and to champion you. And so the next week, my question was a defining moment, good or bad. Good or bad, defining moment. And again, I just set the vulnerability. Okay, let me just share this with you. I shared one time. I don't know if this is what you're going to think of this, but I spent a chunk of a season hating certain people, and they were Christians. I know, I'm just being vulnerable. Yeah, I did, and I knew all the scripture verses, I knew them all, and I knew all of them about not carrying offense, and I knew them all, you know, and I'm like, you know, whatever, on my phone, post-it notes, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this, like, I hate these people, and every time they come to mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, I really hate them, you know, and that was the honest truth. And I knew I had this big, like, festering, like, offense in me, and I knew people could feel it on me, and I'm like, oh my, so what do I do? Like, did I not show up around people? Because I know the feelers are like, oh gosh, something is really going on with you. And I'm like, I'm sure I wore it. And it was like, it was a big season. And so anyways, I'm just sharing this with my group. Well, then it was interesting because I love these people. They're amazing. Like, I honestly, like, if they were to walk in the room, I would, like, they are seriously just beautiful. And, you know, God is just, you know, I'm just, like, so grateful that And someone told me, hey, Jennifer, you will know when you've really forgiven someone and walked through that free of offense, when you see that people and you want to go to lunch with them. I'm like, oh my gosh, will that ever happen? Like, it was like going on. I'm like, I don't know if that will ever happen. But, you know, seriously, I'm like, yeah, let's go do dinner, lunch, coffee. Let's just do it all. So anyways, I was sharing that. And you know what? It opened the door for this other person. Like, oh, like, really? I too hated someone. I'm like, oh, see, you know what I mean? So sometimes we just don't talk about things because it's like, you know we, anyways, that's kind of a long tangent. Rabbit trail, but anyways, that's just vulnerability. And I'm like, you know what? It is so freeing. It is so freeing. Like, this is who I am. And even if you were in a process, like, hey, I'm still struggling, like, I know I'm supposed to love people, but I'm really hurt and offended by these people, I'd be like, you know what? I just champion you on. You're going to get there. You will get there. No matter what the offense is, you are going to get there. Because I am the testimony. Like, I knew all the scriptures, and I'm like, at night, I'd be warring over them. And if you really wanted the rest of the story, Sean had this wooden sword, and I'm downstairs with my wooden sword. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is taking forever, Lord. But I'm just here. If you are going through something really hard and challenging, I'm just here. I'm just championing you on. You are going to get there. Like, you are going to walk in freedom, and you're going to have a testimony, and you're going to release to other people. Like, you are going to get there. The freedom is right there on the other side. So anyways, all that to say, I'm sorry. All that to say is that's what happens, that you can actually encourage and take risk and champion each other on when you're connected with others. And there, so if I, again, five people, just, so Lord, even now, Lord, I just ask that each one who's sitting there, Lord, that you would just bring to mind, either they see the names, or you just show them the faces, and then, you know what, honestly, they don't have to be from this congregation. So Lord, five faces, Lord, I'm asking that you show each one five people that they can connect with, that they feel like they have their own tribe, Lord, that people that they can forge deep connecting relationships with, where they challenge each other, they grow, Lord, that they can pray prophetically over, a place where they can take risk with one another, Lord, that where they could be seen and known in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just thank you for boldness and courage as they take the step forward. So Lord, I just say they will take a step forward just to go after people. And Lord, I thank you that in this congregation, we have long arms. We have really long arms that we can go out and we can bring others in. Lord, that each of us, they can actually see themselves, no, I'm going to bring this one in. I'm going to go gather that and bring them in. Lord, that this is a place where people feel so accepted and such a sense of I belong. And I know I gave this word last time I was up here, that there is this feeling like I found my forever home. Like, I found my people. I found my forever home. Like, I have a place where I belong and I can thrive in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, number four. My gifts are unique. I know some of this sounds like you have been uniquely gifted to carry out the call of God on your life. There might be gifts on your life that you don't want to acknowledge because you don't feel they're significant or spiritual enough, but they are. Acknowledge them and embrace them. They're a part of your call. This is the thing. You get to be you, and the rest of us get to champion you on. So I don't know what is resting personally on your life. So sometimes I think this. I think some of you are actually very fun. I had that feeling that some of you are just like really fun people, but somehow when we gather like this, it's not really like open to like you being the fun guy or fun girl, you know, like you're really fun and you think, well, that's not really spiritual. Can I just tell you, okay, from someone who can only organize fun, okay, I guaranteed, if you need an event that needs to have a fun element, I can organize it for you. But if you're looking for someone to bring the fun without it being organized, or you just need like a fun person, that would be my husband. But I think there's more than just a Sean Pelletier in here that is actually fun. And you kind of look at that and you're like, but how really spiritual is that? I think it's very, it is super, super important and crucial to a family to have fun, to have fun. Can I just, I had a friend and she was, this is years ago, she was, had a young family, she had four kids, and she was in a church and she started asking people, like, how do I create a strong family? Like, what do you do to create strong bonds as a family? And you know what the consensus was as she started talking to these seasoned women? You know what the consensus was? This is what it has always stuck with me. Go camping because you have shared near-death experiences. And so the thing about it is my brother Jeremy's up there. So he can't really come down. Hey, Jennifer, that's not really how it happened. But can I tell you? That was our childhood, wasn't it, Jeremy? Jacqueline's not even here. I'm like looking at her, I'm like, I totally get that. That's the way I spent my childhood too. I'll just share one story. So my dad decided we were gonna hike one of the lakes in at the Seven Devils. Do you guys know where I'm at when I say the Seven Devils? Okay, Seven Devils. And it was in, I think it was July, like, so my brother doesn't remember this because I've already asked him about it. And so this is back in the day. This is my dad. So he had a rope, and do you remember the milk gallon jugs? Okay, so he filled that up with water, and so it was way before, like, it was really cool to have, like, a Nalgene or a Hydro Flask or a Camel Pack. I don't even know if those things were invented. But anyways, so my dad had this, this gallon of water, and so we're a family of six. And we're hiking, it's July, super hot. And then you're dealing with the elevation change. And we're hiking. And so my memory is, my dad's like, hey, like, you guys can't be drinking a lot of water because, like, you know, holding up the jug, like, this has to last us. And so anyways, we had lots of experiences, like, with us just, like, doing these crazy things. So then I started thinking, what could I do as Echo Hills that we could have something like a near-death experience together? So Mike, Josh, Jeff, I put that before you. I'm like, what could we do? Like, we all come together and we're all like, we're going to do this thing, like, you know, hike the Seven Devils. And we have maybe like each of those three have only 3 gallons of water. And we're like, we're going to hike this. And we're all like sweaty and hot. We're like, oh, I think we're going to die. And then we come out of it and we're like, we made it. And we have all these memories together, shared memories. Like, do you remember we almost died? Do you remember how hot it was? And oh my gosh, it was the elevation. I was getting a headache. You know, So I just started thinking about what could we do, but I don't know. So I'll just, however. Okay, so, oh, that's right, because I was talking about fun. Some of you just need to be okay with how you're created and just know it's very much needed. The last one is, I'm called to show my world who God is. So, oh, say it with me. I'm called to show my world who God is. And whether it's your neighbors, your community, there's something on your life that is uniquely to you that you're called to show the whole world who God is. Okay, now that you know how truly remarkable and vital and crucial and awesome you are, I want to show how you as individuals fit together in a larger picture. And if you could turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, and I'm just going to read, I'm just going to start with Nehemiah chapter 1. And I'm just going to read the first four verses, Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is actually, if you have a book Bible, it's between Ezra and Esther, between the E's. Otherwise, you can use your phone. Okay, so Nehemiah chapter 1. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is also broken down, and in its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Let me give you some background information about what Nehemiah was facing. So you can move on to the next slide. Okay, the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down for 141 years. Okay, The Jews had been unsuccessful in rebuilding the walls for 94 years. But what the Israelites couldn't do in 94 years, Nehemiah did in 52 days. Okay, but so this is good. So we're all should be thinking, like, then how was this possible? So what Nehemiah did first, he realized that something was broken. So all of us can see globally, nationally, even in our community, there are things that are broken. The first thing that we all have to come to awareness to is what is broken. And we could just go on and on with a list of what areas are broken. There's a lot of brokenness, tons of brokenness. But there's something when we start surveying what is broken, sometimes what we're left with is feeling so overwhelmed that it was just like, we kind of put our hands up and we're just like, well, Lord, I don't know. The thing is big. But just to know, because whatever God has placed in you, you actually carry the very answer and solution to whatever is broken. You are actually, each one of you, solutionaries to whatever is broken. So there's something in you, whatever the uniqueness in you that God has placed in you, is actually he wants to use to bring an answer and a solution and for you to hear the strategy. Of course, obviously, there is fasting, there is praying, and there is repentance. And sometimes we look at this and we think, gosh, we've been doing that. We've been praying, and we've been fasting, and we've been repenting. So just know that will always, that is absolutely. But so where do you go from there? So this is what I thought was so interesting about Nehemiah and his strategy to fix what was broken. So if you go to Nehemiah, just a second here, Marnie. Nehemiah 4:13. This was Nehemiah's strategy to fix what was broken. Nehemiah 4:13 says, "Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." So the answer, go ahead into the next one, Marnie. Thanks, Marnie, for doing that. So the next slide, Marnie. So the actual solution, the actual strategy was family. It was family. So I leave that with you. All I know is that was the part I was supposed to bring this morning. That somehow whatever is in you and you choosing to connect and to join with others, it's going to bring a strategy and a solution. What couldn't be done and was taking forever, somehow the strategy the Lord gave Nehemiah, it's family, Nehemiah. Put them together in families, Nehemiah. And he put them together in families. And what seemed taking forever and ever and ever, with families, it was completely accomplished in 52 days. I just feel like if it will always be about a harvest of sons and daughters. It will be always about sons and daughters coming to know their Savior. But what they need to come into is family. And if you look about what is broken, the solution that we carry is family. And I leave that with you. And as my family comes up, and the way they're really, really close. So let me just pray for you as they come in. And please do not feel like you're not stuck to where you're sitting, because the whole idea was that you could actually come close. And there's something about when you're standing next to someone and you hear their voice on the right and you hear their voice on the left, and how they pour out their heart and how they worship the Lord, that you hear this person on the right and you hear this person on the left, and they have an understanding of the Father that we don't. We're all very limited into our own understanding of the Lord. That's why connection is so important, because they've experienced the Lord in ways that we haven't. So my encouragement to you as they begin worshiping, please come forward and allow yourself a place of vulnerability and a heart connection actually with people on either side of you as you just go after. So, Lord, I just pray that even now, Lord, you are so, like, family so on your heart. Family so on your heart. Lord, that our kingdom, yes, we have a king, but you're known as the Father. Lord, and that you go after the sons and daughters. And Lord, you are always seeing and calling out for sons and daughters. And Lord, even now that, Lord, that each one could hear their name being said. And in some of you, I have this feeling the Lord is actually singing your name. He's actually singing your name. And I know as that person sang over me, sunshine. You are my sunshine. Like, I have a feeling. So, Lord, just open up the ears, that the spiritual ears, that they actually hear you singing their name, Lord. So just draw us into a new place with you this morning, Lord. Just a new level, a deeper intimacy with you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Do you guys see him? Do you see Jesus? Lord, we just take a moment just to see you. I just encourage you, just find him in the room. He's here. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Eyes of fire. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's tough to come out of that one. God's so good, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, just put praise upon your mouth.
Yes,
upon your lungs. Lord, we just praise you. We praise you. You are worthy of it all. We thank you for family. We thank you that we can come and build you a throne of praise. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, praise you, Jesus. That's the beauty of just family and corporate worship, that we can come together and just, you know, we worship all week, but then to come and just come alongside and link arms and just build him a throne of praise, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ all across the world right now doing it, Lord. We exalt you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Yeah, here we go.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Jesus.
It's good to be home.
Amen.
Friday, Deb and I went to our grandson's daycare. It was Grandparents' Day. And we spent an hour with a bunch of old people like us, interacting with a bunch of young people. And it was amazing. It was amazing seeing these grandparents who are adopting kids just right on the spot. It was amazing seeing the grandkids running to their grandparents and just sitting in laps and laughing. And I looked at that and I said, I was amazed by, this is what the church is supposed to be. And I want to just, the weightiness of God's presence is so strong right now because when Jennifer had that last slide, how did they do that? And I've studied the book of Nehemiah for years and years and years. But when that last slide came up, they couldn't rebuild the walls for over 100 years. What changed? What was it? And it was one thing. They all had the same God. They all had the same desire. They all wanted the same thing. But one thing changed that brought fulfillment to God's heart and plan. They lived as family. Everybody, we have got to figure this out. If you do not, and if I do not see church as family, then I can become very critical. I can become judgmental. I can be what it's not, what it should be, what it could be. The sound's too loud. The chairs are too hard. But when you look at family, you put up with a lot of stuff because they're your family. And you're willing to work through the stuff because you're family. And it doesn't mean that the stuff isn't still there. You just have a different perspective. You're my family. And part of the thing I thought about while I was on vacation, it's like I miss family. It's like I'm isolated from family. And it's cool. It's great. You know, you got to do different things. That was fun. But it's all about family. And I'm going to ask you this morning, this is not something we walk away from and go, yeah, great job, Jennifer. This is a call from God on this church. We have got to figure out how to live like family and to view His church like family and to view each other like family and to work through situations and not quit because you don't quit on your family. And I realized something as I was sitting there. I was just weeping because it's like, where is everybody? And it's not so we can have more numbers. It's where's my family? How's my family doing? How are they doing? And we can even see church that way. Well, I go to church. No, I go to my family. I need my family. And I'm going to ask you to stand with us. Are you guys done? Are you okay? Could you stand with us this morning? I just asked. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, do you have anything? Or Josh or Jennifer, anything? Here's what I'm asking of you. And I started writing some notes down. God, you got to show us what family looks like in a world where family's broken. You got to show us what you want family to be. And here's my ask of you. Here's my big ask of you. Are you willing to say yes to the journey of discovering what does it mean to be family? Are you willing to commit yourself to say, I'm sticking with it? I'm not sticking with church. I'm sticking with family. And you're my family. And so, I'm going to be bold. If you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to discover what it means to be a family, start with me and go through me. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm willing to figure this out? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we raise our hands. And in our family, there are things that we have to work through. There's things, like Jennifer said, sometimes we don't even like our own family. There's some things our family does that just irritates us and frustrates us. There's sometimes our family is just amazing. But Lord, we don't sacrifice for just anybody. We sacrifice for family. We're willing to go the extra mile for family. We're willing to get the call on a Saturday morning, can you help me move? And we'll grousely say yes. Why? Because you're my family. It's that place where they need a meal. Why? They're family and I'll provide a meal. It's what do you need from us? We'll do it because we're family. And Lord, I pray for Echo Hills Church family that we commit ourselves to learn what it means to be family. That we have a God who says, I'm your Father, but He's also our King. That it's our Father King who calls us into Father royal relationships. That God, in Jesus' name, this was a call today. This was not just a sermon, it was a call today. How can we see change so quickly? It's when the people of God see each other as family. Help us, Jesus. Because before there was government, before there was church, before there was any institution, the first institution was family. And our world needs to see what family really looks like. So we commit ourselves today, September 11th, we commit ourselves today, Lord, to say, teach us what it means to be a family. Truly. And Lord, whatever baggage we bring into from our family, we submit that to your word of what you say family is. I ask for a baptism of love from the very youngest to the very oldest. That we would love each other. And we speak the truth in love. And we serve in love. And we forgive in love. And we help in love. Because we're family. In Jesus' name. Would you seal that prayer that the Father is listening to right now and is going to answer and is answering? Would you seal it with a hearty yes and amen?
Yes, amen.
In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Okay. So, true family. It's like this. And then it's like this. It's the Father in you, and then it's us. And that's the only way. Even if your blood family, true family, is connected to Him. And I heard Him say, I issue a spoiler alert. God, the restorer of all things, is about to spoil the spoiler. And to give back what the enemy has stolen. And in a lot of cases, that is family, you know. I mean, that is the disintegration of a nation, is when the family falls apart. And God is the restorer. And He wants to start with you, your heart with Him. You know, the Father, He loves you. And then He wants to put it through the family. The family of your blood and the family of Him. And it's, you know, it is about the church. It is about the bride. And he wants to take what the enemy of our souls, his enemy, has stolen. And, you know, a lot of times it's redistribution of wealth. And it is. But that wealth isn't just money, that's maybe the least of it. It's all those blessings. You know, He says how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. That's about family. He says He wants to restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, lest He come and, you know, bring something not good against the earth. He is all about restoring. And so, Lord, we just thank You that in Your time You make all things beautiful. You are the restorer of all things, and it is about family. That is Your reward, Jesus, the family You bring to the Father through Your blood, through the cross. And Lord, just help us to connect more strongly with You than we've ever connected before. And then let that flow out to the body. To our natural families, to the family through the adoption. We thank You, Jesus.
This is really neat. Last night, I had a dream and a vision. Well, I don't know what comes first, but anyway, we were all in the back, and there was people coming down. You know the movie Dirty Dancing? Where they're all in the back and they're coming down the aisle and snapping their fingers and doing that little dance. Well, the guy at the front, he looked back and he said, "Nobody monkeys with my family." And so God's saying, "Nobody is going to monkey with my family."
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Thank You, Jesus. Come on, family is plan A. Yeah, you can clap for that. You know, just before we get ready to wrap, do you have anything that you want to say? Did you have something you want to say? You have one more song? I'm about ready to end you guys, and you have one more song.
We can.
Do you want to, let's do one more song.
Can I just jump in?
I love it when what we're learning in Sunday in our Sounders meshes, because we don't talk about this ahead of time. So we were finishing up this series about Joseph, and this was the day we talked about Joseph's family now are starving, and they come to Egypt, And they're met with Joseph on the throne, and the brothers realize, well, they don't know it's him yet, right? Dad thinks that Joseph's dead, and here for the last 7+ years, the brothers are not talking about something that's been happening that no one talks about anymore. And how many things in our family, we don't talk about that. And here this was, Joseph was like, well, I could totally just off, you know, they're dead. They could be thrown into the pit, whatever. And Joseph forgives them. And so we just talked about forgiveness, and that was all God's, you know, God's favor was all on this. And so to come in here and to hear about family and love and forgiveness, I was like, God just leads us to exactly where he is, and that we could just get to partner with what he's doing. So awesome.
Amen. Well, thank you for being with us this morning. You are the goodness of God on the earth. Amen. Come on. So as you go, look for it elsewhere, but also know that you are being seen, not just in heaven, but also on earth. God bless you, family of God. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for joining us today.